Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
So we were just talking, JC, about Jimmy's tree still being up.
About what?
Jimmy's Christmas tree still being up. Do you have
That's
a theory
true.
About how long you should have your Christmas decorations up for?
If it was up to me, I'd have them up all year round because it's just so festive. I love it. Like the twinkling lights. I mean, if I could have Charlie Brown's Christmas on all year round, I would. So I for one applaud Jimmy's festiveness slash perhaps laziness.
Yeah, it's festive, not lazy. Well, yeah,
it's
a little bit lazy.
But it's festive slash lazy. It's both.
I'm thinking of taking just the balls off and leaving the tree up all year.
Just decorate it with different things throughout the year. You know,
yeah, and I think I'm more bunnies. Intrigued about people's reactions when they come into the house and be like, is that your Christmas tree? No, there's no Christmas decorations on it.
It's my Valentine's tree.
It's my tree in the house.
I feel like, yeah, I think if you change it up and you redecorate for every major holiday, I think I'd be on board with that. But if it was Christmas tree or Christmassy all year round, I think it would be sad. And then you wouldn't appreciate Christmas the next time it came around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm gonna try and let you guys know how it goes when people come over on the weekend.
I'm on board for this experiment.
Oh, shit.
Huh?
Forrest, you got some shit on your lip. I don't know what that is.
Pardon me?
You got some shit on your lip.
I do?
Yeah. What is this? Like white and frosty.
Oh, it's cocaine. Sorry.
It's your holiday decorations.
Yeah, I'm all for the festive. Give me a line.
Oh my God.
Fucking 9 in the morning.
Off to a rip-roaring start. This is Footy Prime, the podcast. We've got Jimmy, we've got Forrest, we've got Melvis Pelvis slash JC. No pie man. He's busy filling pies, doing the upper crust thing. And no Wonger, who I'm sure his mail sack will be bulging as he returns from his holiday on Friday, right? He's going to make a triumphant return.
I would love to know how many times he's been told, shut the fuck up on holiday. Because he is the loudest man you've ever met in your life.
The loudest, loveliest man.
He's the best, but he's the loudest guy I've ever met in my life. He's must have been told about 20 times to shut the fuck up.
I think those people are in the minority. That's definitely happened, but he's also made a shit ton of friends. He's 100%. Friends with everybody at whatever resort they're at.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a fact.
That's hilarious.
He's box office.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the FA Cup draw or see the results of the FA Cup draw the other day?
Some of them.
Yeah. I'm very excited about a couple of the derbies that emerged. You want to hear some? Yeah. So we've got the big clashes. We've got Chelsea is going to be against Villa. Manchester United gets an easy one. They're going to be against Newport County or Eastleigh.
Hey, by the way, Man United has no easy games.
No, that's true. But they seem to come off easy in these draws. Yeah. And then the big one, Baby J, is Spurs against City, right? And City's record away at Tottenham is very poor. The last 5 games, 5 losses. So that should be interesting. But what I was most excited to see was Forest versus Walsh Derby. We've got Ipswich Town versus Maidstone United, which is now my team.
Yes. Oh.
That'll be good, right?
That'll be a tasty one.
Yeah.
Oh, good draw for it.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, I got a couple of things on that. I mean, the draw is great. I'd love to see Ipswich have a really good run because they potentially could. But they got bigger fish to fry, really, with that situation. They are sitting in second behind Leicester. Leicester going to cruise, so they're going to win the division by the looks of things. And then who's going to finish second? And a bunch of teams are coming up hot on their heels. A lot of teams with parachute payments, big budgets coming up behind Ipswich, who have a valuation, I think, of their players but brought in about £8 million, that's all. So, yeah, the cup runs can sometimes derail your promotion challenge sometimes. So, about that for Ipswich.
No, you're absolutely right with that. That's true. We've seen that many times, haven't we? Teams doing well and then going a little cup run, and all of a sudden now they start taking their eye off the prize. And at the end of the day, if you're in the championship, you're not expected to win the FA Cup. You're not going to really win the FA Cup, are you? So you think a lot of times when teams are going for promotion, they couldn't give a shit about the FA Cup. And sometimes they'll play their second squad just to get through that match so that they can focus on the real target of winning the league.
That's what you said the other day, Jimmy. Yeah. Not necessarily about a championship side, but about Forest playing back Blackpool, right?
Yeah.
That they fielded mostly their B side.
Yeah. I mean, look, Forest's goal at the end of the day is stay in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in the Premier League. Do they have enough in their locker to win the FA Cup? No, not yet. They're not there. So focus on what the target is, right? And what your goal is at the beginning of the season. You know,
reasons why to stay in the Premier League.
Yeah. And like for Ipswich Town now, you're in a position that you can see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel now. You're having a great season. You're close to getting promoted. Focus on that. Fuck the FA Cup. Who cares? Who cares? Get yourself into the Premier League. Right? Why waste the opportunity? And then if, you know, you do play your best players, you have a chance that players might get injured. You know, players are getting overworked. Mm. Forget about that. Get promoted. Get promoted. That's the big prize.
See, and this, what's happening here, and this actually bodes very, very well for Maidstone United. Or no, Maidstone United, is that it?
Yeah, because that's my team now.
Yeah, because if all these other teams are focused on, they're like, well, we want to get to the Prem. We want to, you know, focus on this, not have injuries, blah, 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 play our B teams. Maidstone's like, we're going to throw everything at the wall, and then Footy Prime's going to win that $1.5 million parlay because we're going to win the FA Cup and just shock people. And it's going to be great. It's going to come down to them and City, and then City's going to get swamped by Maidstone United. And then so it all works out in the end, you see, for Amy's team.
Yeah, which is good. But it's interesting, though, how you have to reconcile those two things, because we talked last pod about how great the FA Cup was for the David and Goliath storylines. And Jimmy, you were talking about the pressure you felt as the higher ranked, or like the team in the higher league, going to one of these grounds, these shitty grounds that were slanted and tilted in a cow pasture, and worried about being that statistic of the team that gets knocked off by a non-league team or something.
Yeah.
But so there's all of that great storylines to it and the storytelling that's involved with it in the history. But it's interesting that there's also the other side. When you're thinking about promotion, you're thinking about the money on the other side of, say, a championship team like like Ipswich, who wants to make that leap where it's more lucrative.
It depends to where you are in the table. Mm-hmm. Right, where you are. If you're mid table and it's let's have a good cup run and let's see how far we can get. If you're at the top of the table, it's okay. We're going for promotion. Forget about this. So it depends where you are to where your mindset's really going to be.
Yeah, because
years ago, Amy, like the way the finances were, they didn't have these massive TV deals. So every club was always looking for a long cup run because that's where they could actually make some money. If you had a good League Cup, good FA Cup run, fill the stadiums, get an extra couple gates, maybe get one on TV. That's kind of how it worked. And the clubs were big on that. But now there's, really, and unfortunately somewhat, the money takes over a little bit. And the big prize of the Premier League and the massive amounts of money that goes from zero to 60.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up. Like with the TV deals now, I think it brings up, like, the FA Cup reminds football or reminds fans of its roots and that clubs were created to represent the fans and communities and not the rich owners, right? And so these TV deals are, they remind you of that. And I think it moves you away from its roots. So, like, now in the modern club, like, who does football belong to? And I think, like, that's what the FA Cup is. It reminds you of its roots in the best way possible. So, like, and we also talked about the North American model and how different it is and how, some of our supporter group members chimed in on Twitter and were talking about chanting at NHL games and being asked to stop. And it's just not part of the culture here, but is trying to grab some of that culture and imbue sport with some of that history is part of that moving towards, like, a supporter club model. The way that, say, Wimbledon is, Luton still is, lots of European teams are. We have TSS Rovers in BC. Is that the way we maybe shift the narrative a bit in North America?
I like it. And I think the interaction with fans and club is really important. I think we've seen that with Major League Soccer with some of the sides as well, like Seattle. The way they bring the fans in. So if you have a group of 50 people or something like that, you can have a voice on the board and at least make them seem like they have an actual, side in the decisions of what they make. But that connection between club and fans to make them really feel as though they're part of the fabric of these clubs is really, really important for growth. And I think MLS has done that quite well compared to other North American sports. So why not try to jump on that to make them feel that way?
Well, the Green Bay Packers are owned by the fans. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize, too, Barcelona and Real Madrid are as well. Mm-hmm. Right? Two monster clubs. I would love to have a club, and we should have a club in League One.
Footy Prime should have a League One team?
Footy Prime, men's and women's, mm-hmm. League One team owned by Footy Prime and the fans. Supporters club.
Interesting.
Fundraising for this.
Maybe this is where all our winnings go from footy picks.
Towards our own football club.
Fuck you, Forrest. No more gold-plated coffin. No more internet. No more computer. We're buying a club.
We're buying a club, and we're going to start putting this together. And Kerry Ryan should be running this.
Yes, Kerry.
Putting it together. Our own football club.
You know that Wonger would want to get involved, though.
Well, we've already had the conversation.
Really?
We had the conversation in Hamilton with somebody from League One.
That's been a good one.
That guy.
Oh, yeah. No, we did. We start the narrative is in motion. We also had the conversation with a band on a rooftop from Montreal. No, Vancouver. Remember that, Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wheels are turning.
I need to hear more about that band on the rooftop because I just went to the Beatles and their last performance. So who did you guys see who was on the rooftop?
Fake Nirvana.
Oh, my favorite.
But they were real. They were cool dudes. But we called them Fake Nirvana.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. His name wasn't Kurt Cobain. It was Kent Cobain.
Kurt and Cobain.
He looked a bit like him and sounded like him.
Yeah, that's it.
Very Can nice. He sing for you guys? No?
Yeah.
Wait, you guys were actually sitting there and he started singing?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Seriously.
I'm always on the phone, but.
So is this a thing? Is this something, another thing we're going to talk about and then not do? Or are we really going to get the wheels going on this, the wheels turning and buy a club? Is this happening?
We're getting League One men's and women's team.
Well, you know what would be a great way to do this? Is no joke. We could crowdfund this. We could set up a little like we could start doing some fundraisers, whatever, and you know, to build up the team, and then it really becomes the fans' team. And we just got to find, you know, a place to have the team.
Hmm. Where do we have the team? In Toronto?
Probably.
Oh yeah.
What do we call it? Toronto Metropolitan Football Club.
Did you just read that? Have you done prep for this? Did you just read that off the screen?
Just came up with it.
Okay.
Plus Montreal a bit. 45 mm-hmm. minutes outside of.
Might be too complicated with the English-French thing. Maybe. Yeah. Stick with the GTA.
So let's
put it in Coquitlam for us.
Can we get one before the summer?
That's a pretty quick turnaround, Jimmy.
Well, we can buy a club that's struggling, can't we?
Well, I think one just folded in League One.
Investment.
Which team folded in League One?
Casey, I think, used to take photos for it. Electric City or something like that?
Oh, that was in Peterborough. Oh,
okay.
So can we get that franchise? Ooh.
Maybe.
Yeah. Buy high, sell low.
Look at you. You didn't even pause and like feel badly for the fact that they'd folded. You're like, hey, can we get the rights to that team or what?
Yeah. Right?
Okay. They couldn't afford the bus money.
What's that?
They couldn't afford the bus money. Pay for the
bus money. Well, maybe that's the way to go. You know, let's imbue North American sports and the soccer landscape in Canada with more supporter-owned clubs.
Yeah.
Maybe the way to do it.
Well, but let's start it.
Yeah. All right. I'm on board. We'll revisit this for sure. But going back to what you guys were talking about with the FA Cup and like shifting your focus and prioritizing league play versus cup play, do you just think that there's flat out too much football now? Like you guys seeing some of the injuries, like did you see Forrest for West Ham?
Mm.
Paqueta is going to be out, right?
Yeah.
You know that Trent's going to be out for at least 3 weeks for Liverpool. So initially it was, how do we replace Salah, who's going to be gone, you know, at least until next month, 8 fixtures total, including cup play. Yeah. But now it's, how do you replace Trent? But for West Ham, I think that's a huge loss.
It you is.
Know, who's going to be providing all of those, you know, that who's going to be like giving the service. Like, I mean, there's nobody like him on that squad.
No, there really isn't. Yeah. He's been absolutely brilliant. I was quite a critic of him for a few years and felt that he wasn't really living up to expectations, but man, oh man, has he found his feet, Paqueta. So yeah, it's a big loss. But yeah, about football, there is way too much. I mean, isn't there a talk about the union actually suing people about how much football they're playing? And, you know, and then you look at this African Cup of Nations on, if they continue to have it this time of year, it's then going to, they're going to have conflicts with the World Club Champion, World Cup, when they expand to 32 teams. Everybody wants to add competitions on. There's always, you know, even MLS with the League's Cup, and there's just more and more and more. And you have to certainly have a very good staff to be able to watch people and their load managements and how much they're actually putting on and how much football they're actually playing, because it just really is too much. And it just adds up, as we've seen. And a lot of these players have not even recovered from the World Cup last year in November. So it's a lot.
Yeah, there were studies, I think, that they did about the impact of that World Cup being in the fall and where it was and how the incidence of injury went up in most of the major leagues. Mm. Was that a thing, Jimmy, when you were playing?
Like, when does the break actually happen? If you're playing all year in the Premier League, these leagues run really, really long. And then you come out of that and you got international competitions. Every 2 years, you got a major competition at least. to play that. And then once you're done that, you might get a couple weeks and you're back at preseason getting ready for the next Premier League season or pre-qualifying for Champions League or like whatever.
Yeah. It's true, though. You need that time off. I remember, you know, when we were playing, and I think it was at Force at the time, and you're playing league games, then you had the cups, you know, FA Cup and then the other league cup. And then we ended up coming back playing international football, playing Gold Cup. Then we had World Cup qualifying. Then we had the Confederation Cup. And I remember that year, it must have been like 99 to 2002. And I was like, holy shit, I've played a lot of football. Mm-hmm. No, not a lot. And that, don't forget, it's the flying as well, the traveling. Mm-hmm. It adds up and it does take a toll on your body after a while. That's for sure. But I remember that little spell there. There was a lot that was going on.
Yeah, 12 months of the year for a few years.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think we had a break that year with the Gold Cup, League Play, Confederation Cup, and World Cup qualifying.
Yeah. Then we were going to go to Copa America as well.
Then we were supposed to go to Copa America. Yeah.
So where do you find time to practice, not only like just practice, but also with each of these respective squads? You know what I mean?
Practice.
We talk about practice.
Yeah, well, that's it, because a lot of it just becomes recovery.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why that we always say, like, it's your preseason is the most important part of your training before season. Preseason. Because that 6 weeks is where you're getting all your fitness. And then throughout the year, it's all about maintenance. Just looking after yourself. Because you've got your fitness levels. You just take care of that now. And if you don't have a proper preseason, that's where you really struggle throughout the season as well. Because you don't have that base. Mm-hmm. And you're just continually chasing the season.
But then you can have the problem where you're actually super fit coming into preseason and you need a break because you've just been playing for.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Great. And then, yeah, it can be disruptive. There's a few things. Definitely, I agree with that. If you have a really good preseason, you feel it sets you up for the rest of the season generally.
Yeah.
But it's not only the physical toll at that point and the load management and how you're training from a coaching perspective. And how you get players who maybe aren't starters, how you keep them fit and ready to go when you're going to need to call on them and rotate your squad a little bit. But it's the mental toll. That's something that I don't think we're really taking into full account. Obviously, what presents itself immediately are the injuries. And, you know, you see these players dropping like flies. You're seeing it in a women's game as well. Sharm's got Lauren James and Sam Kerr confused last time. We'll be thrilled that I mentioned it, but Sam Kerr goes down with an ACL injury, but there's other injuries happening as well. But then it's the mental aspect of that. And is the support there in leagues for these and at a club level for these players to make sure that they're doing okay as a person, not just as a footballer?
Mm. You're asking if there is a support system for that?
No, I'm just saying, I know that there is support, but right. I think that's something that's overlooked in this discussion.
I agree. Yeah, it sucks being injured. And mentally, you're right. It can take its toll.
Yeah. Well, I know when we played, there was no support for that.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. It was, you're getting paid, get on with it, and go do your job.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is support really in today's football. Is there for that? Mental fatigue is really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the greater mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think, often than not, you're just hearing about it when there's an issue, when there's a problem, yeah. When it's an extreme, right? When somebody becomes suicidal or something like that, or has to check into like a substance abuse facility or something like that, really, really needs desperate help. And then they're going to get it. But it's, you know, the people who are sort of in limbo who might need that help. And did you find, Jimmy, you were talking about sort of the continuous physical toll, like you said, 99 to 2003. where there was seemingly no break. So do you find that when you finally do get a respite from those demands, that everything comes crashing down physically, like any niggles that you had and like maybe didn't result in big time injuries, but then all of a sudden your body's just like, I've had enough?
No, I mean, look, I don't think I've ever played a match where I was 100% fit.
Yeah.
Never in my career. I was always had something. Something was always going on. But just, you know, what's that?
Usually a toenail coming off.
Yeah. Yeah. But the, it was nice just to have a proper summer off, you know, and just when I say summer, I mean, end of season, because end of season when I was playing in England was, it was the summer, right? We had, you know, 6 weeks off, and it was nice to have a break where there was nothing going on and you could just really kind of relax, hang out with friends and family, and just take your mind totally off of football. And that was probably the best time that you had the I would say the best recovery that you could have. Mm-hmm. You know, when you had international football in the summertime, that's where you were kind of dreading it a little bit, thinking, fuck, I'm not really getting any time off here. And then I'm going to go play international football, and then I might have a week, 2 weeks off, and then I'm back at it again going into preseason. You know, that was the mental struggle. But look, I mean, it was part of the job and you knew you had to do it, so you got on with it. But it was nice sometimes just having that break in the summer, that 6 weeks where you could just put your feet up and relax and then get yourself going again for the next season. Yeah.
There were rare opportunities. There's a happy medium, isn't there? I look at some of these leagues and, you know, like the NFL, the length of the off season would be too much. You see why these guys get into trouble and the new felon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Balance to be struck, I think, always, for sure.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much time they have off in the NFL. Huh? What do they play? 16 weeks? 17 weeks?
Well, I think it's now spread out to 18 now, and they're going to expand the playoffs next year, so they'll add more games. But yeah, it's about 18 weeks during the season, 17 regular season games.
That's crazy. And you got 52 weeks in a year, and they only play for 18 weeks. Enjoy the offseason, lads.
Yeah.
We'll see you in 7 months.
Well, maybe the argument there is like the extreme physical nature of football. They need that much time to recover.
Yeah, but the injuries are unbelievable, really.
Do you think if they took all that padding off, they wouldn't have the injuries that they have?
Yeah, sometimes you wonder, don't you? Take that helmet off would actually be better.
Take that helmet off.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just talking about rugby, aren't we?
Well, that's the real tough sport there is rugby. That's the big game. Oof. And they don't have nearly as many injuries as what the NFL does.
Yeah.
Because well, they protect themselves. Yeah, they don't do those stupid challenges with their head.
Much shorter careers, though, on average, if you're talking about a pro football player in North America versus a European football player or a soccer player, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't believe some of the players on the running backs in the NFL that they actually have survived through high school, through college, to get to the NFL and actually be fit enough to play for 3 or 4 years before getting damaged enough that you have to retire. It's quite something that they actually made it that far, still being able to run.
Yeah, survival of the fittest for sure, which is actually what Tottenham's really been going through. So talking about injuries and looking for guys who are going to come in. Postecoglou, I think, is able to convince ownership that they needed help, especially at the back. So looks like they're going to be bringing in Timo Werner and also Dragušin, the Genoa center back, to give them some help, especially in that back line. So you got to like that, AJC?
Of course I do. Big Ange.
Tight back line.
I love that. I like his backline.
I like his backline too.
Very tight.
I love Big Ange.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's a big Ange top back line.
It'll be interesting to see how Werner does there.
Tight.
Yeah.
There's a few big clubs struggling to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah. But I think Postecoglou said how much he values like players who are versatile, who can fit or be deployed in a myriad of ways. And I think Werner fits that description. And he's certainly got pace that they've been lacking. Right?
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how he slots in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be a bit of movement. Wonder what Chelsea do in this window. They've been sort of headlining in the last few windows, spending £1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what Bowley's got in mind this time.
Yeah, no, but seemingly no rhyme or reason to it. And then and they just lost to Michael Carrick's championship side in the other semifinal of the Carabao Cup. So Liverpool plays full on.
Right?
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah.
First leg.
I didn't see it, but apparently they were just shite. Couldn't pass. They couldn't, no effort. Yeah, they were, it was a sad state.
Yeah, I heard the same. I didn't watch it either, but by all accounts made Pochettino's men look pretty average. So mm-hmm. Should be nice because they were on a high. Who did they beat on penalties in the previous round?
Oh.
When they got through, but that was a lift that team desperately, desperately needed. And then they go out and lay an egg against Middlesbrough.
Yeah. They're in a position where in the league, they're in fucking nowhere. A good cup run and winning a trophy in a really bad year would be something that would be on the cards for somebody like Chelsea.
Yeah. Well, there we go. There's the flip side to that discussion at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they are going to prioritize a league cup versus, you know, how they're doing in the Prem.
Mm-hmm. They need a lift.
Yeah, for sure. AGC, do you have that pick that I sent over to you?
As a matter of fact, Amy, I do.
Oh,
coming up on a brand new segment on Footy Prime, which I'm very prepared for. This is Looky Likey.
Wonger is so sad that he's not here.
So today on Looky Likey, Amy has sent this. So we'll start off now. We will post this. And we did make a nice little thing for this. And now I will share this, the looky likey screen. Sorry, this is my first time. This is how my wife feels every time. Sorry.
Okay. It's glorious, JC.
Here we are.
It's lovely.
Thank you.
Jimmy, do you want to talk us through this? What are we seeing here? Jimmy, you're so thrilled.
What's happening here?
Look at Jimmy, like a fucking model.
He looks good, right?
He does. What happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
Is it the stress?
Yeah. So I watched this game the other day. So it was actually versus Chelsea in the FA Cup, Preston North End, and Liam Miller was playing. And so I wanted to make sure I caught this game. And then I saw, is his name? Yeah, Ryan Lowe on the touchline. And I went, wait a minute. We've got a striking guy in the sidelines. He reminds me of somebody. And then I did an old mashup here, and I think Ryan Lowe might be a poor man's version of Jimmy Brennan. And I think that we should put this on socials and see what everybody thinks. Jimmy, thoughts?
He's got lovely eyes.
deep.
Nice deep set eyes.
Nice deep set eyes. What would John Lyle say about his eyes, Forrest?
Oh, no, that was Bobby Ferguson.
Oh, Bobby Ferguson. Yeah, Bobby Damn Ferguson. It.
Two close together, you can't trust him.
So he's got a little bit of that going on. But what do you think? Like, there's a little Brandon looky-likey, don't we think? Yeah.
I think it's a, if Jimmy was born in Bulgaria, there he is.
The Bulgarian Brennan. Bulgarian Brennan. That would be a good nickname.
Bulgarian Brennan?
Yeah. Well, this segment went over like a fart in church.
Well, this has been another episode of Looky Likey here on Footy Prime.
You guys suck. I was very pleased with that.
So is Jimmy.
Look how chuffed she is. Look at her.
I know.
Forever by from Jimmy looked like a canal. Like a Premier League manager there.
I know. That should be your profile pic everywhere.
Oh.
It was summertime. I had a nice tan.
Yeah.
Where were you coaching when that pic was taken? Was that York?
That was York, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very nice. Wow. Did you guys see Laurent Courtois and his reception in Montreal? And Forrest, I did a little bit of digging. I think you guys played together at West Ham.
A little bit there, yeah. He only played 7 games for West Ham. It didn't go particularly well. I think he was there a total of 18 months. Yeah, we overlapped a little bit. 2001, 2003, I believe he left. But like all of us, we look a little bit different than we did back then. But yeah, paid his dues. I really like him. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and he's been around. He's coached youth teams, reserves, first teams. He's assisted places, been involved with some really good clubs, played some really good football. I think he's going to be terrific. It'd probably been my famous last words, but kiss of death.
I think he lasts more than a season.
You just fucked him over, by the way.
Yeah.
He's going to have a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, he made a great first impression yesterday. I wasn't there in person at Saint Nutrilet when he was unveiled as head coach with Gabriel Gervais, the president, but did a great job. I think fabulous first impression. He was asked about the Wilfred Nancy, link. Obviously, he's coming over from the Crew, and he had success as head coach over the past 2 seasons, coaching in MLS Next. They're in their season in their league with Crew 2. And then he immediately shot it down. He's like, what did Wilfred tell you about being in Montreal? And was it negative? And he's like, nothing. Like, we chat about other stuff. Like, I don't think about it, you know? And talked about his philosophy of play and how he wants to get to know the guys. And they're going to be in Arizona soon for preseason. So I think this is good. This is a better aligned appointment than a Hernan Losada was. So I think that was a bit of a misstep by the organization, and I think they're back on track now with Courtois. So I'm looking forward as well to seeing what he can do. Jimmy, are you familiar with Courtois at all in terms of his coaching? Because he's been at Galaxy, he's been at Lyon.
I spoke with Corey Ray a while back. It was at Columbus, and he spoke very highly of Courtois and said he was a very good manager, very detailed, because Corey Ray actually looks after the Columbus Crew 2 or MLS 2, whatever you call it, the reserve team.
Yeah. Right?
And he spoke very highly of him and said he was a very, very detailed coach. And he did have some success with that team. So
yeah, they won it 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. There's been a lot of hype about this, about Courtois, and, you know, now he's got his opportunity. And that's one of the reasons why you do go into, you know, that reserve team, take it over, because eventually you want to make that step and get into a first team. And he's got his opportunity now. And, you know, when you look at Columbus, the way that they're playing, even in the first team, they play great football. They've got good philosophy, good style of play. And if he can take what he did at Columbus and bring that to Montreal and continue that that style of play, I think they'll be successful. Definitely do. And it's good that he's got his opportunity. So I'm happy for him. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very good signing.
I think as well with Montreal and the way that they want to develop the youth and pull players up from academies and these homegrown players. I mean, I think part of it is not wanting to spend, but that is really part of their DNA. And what Courtois did in MLS Next Pro, and you look at Jason Russell Rowe, or you look at Mo Farsi, and others, and the youth that was coming up, and not only just part of that first team, but starting in the playoffs, and then a really integral part of their success in winning MLS Cup. So I think that aligns really well. And listening him talk about valuing the human first, getting to know the players and giving them the confidence and the courage to make mistakes. Like, I think as a player, like, that's almost the best thing that you can hear from a coach, you know, that he's going to allow that and allow that to flourish. It's such an important thing. Cause I played for a lot of coaches where I was afraid to make mistakes, and that's the kiss of death. Speaking of kiss of deaths, Forrest.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, good. The managers express that. And then I don't see Montreal spending millions and millions on designated players either. So you're right there, as far as they have to be good there, and they have to have very good coaching, because they're never going to have the benefit of being able to throw money at these so-called designated players like Toronto FC do and seamlessly move from one to the other. But that's not the case with Montreal. Never has been.
No, it's not. Did you guys see what's happening with Richie, like talking about designated players and then how he's still beholden or tied to Nottingham Forest. And then with MLS and their rules and regulations, and maybe this is coming from Forest because they want to put a big price tag on him. They don't want to let him go for less than, say, $2 million or something. I don't think the Whitecaps are interested in re-signing him because he's too expensive based on the way he's designated.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gets fucked over.
He does, yeah, yeah. The only thing they could hope for is that Nottingham Forest want to play ball, and that they can pay part of his wages or something like that and do another loan spell. I think that's the only way that would work in Vancouver, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, probably be just get another loan. Because Forest is probably, they're looking at it as well, thinking, well, we want a return on our investment.
Mm-hmm.
We bought him, we spent money on him. So. Yeah,
I mean, it's like,
remember, but you're gonna give us back.
They didn't like him either. It's like, yeah, I don't.
No, but you know, on the flip side of that too, there might be another opportunity with Richie because you got a new manager in now, and the new manager might like Richie.
Yeah.
Right. So
there's another conversation I guess Richie has: is it worth going back to try to fight for a position and play in the Premier League, which was really his ultimate goal.
Yeah.
As a player though, do you have that right? Can he express that? Can that be communicated to Forrest, or is he just sort of waiting and kind of at the mercy of Forrest's decision?
Like the right to, what do you mean? Go back?
Well, like to return, or is it just going to be up to Forrest to be like, well, we want to get good return on him, good value on him, and we'll put him out on loan wherever. Like, do you have a say in that as a player? Or is it just the club can just move you where they want?
I would imagine that the new manager that's come in knows that Richie's on the books. And I'm sure that he's probably reached out to him. And if I'm Richie, I'd be like, listen, I didn't really have a great opportunity with the previous manager, but I would love to get a crack at an opportunity with you. That's what I would be saying anyways.
Yeah. See what he says. So you got no hope here. Your best opportunity is to stay out on loan, or we sell you, or do something. It's a tough situation for Richie, really. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it works out for him.
Yeah. Well, with Forrest having six players gone to AFCON or the Asian Cup, wouldn't now be an opportune time to have him in on a trial?
Jesus, trial, yeah.
Well, you know, or just in, right?
Yeah. Like, get him back training. Yeah.
Well, if they fancy him at all, this would be a good time. If they don't, then they're not going to want to see him. So it's going to be pretty evident what they want from Richie pretty quickly.
But he should be back there. Is he not back in Nottingham right now?
You'd think he would have to be back there.
right? You're on the books.
I'll send him a text, figure out, where are you, Rich?
Yeah.
I mean, he should be back in Nottingham.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about Richie languishing and, oh, poor Richie. Maybe he's there training right now. We just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't know any of the players.
But what's that sort of depth chart look like, Jimmy, with Nottingham right now?
Oh, yeah.
In terms of your right fullbacks.
It's big right now. The depth charts, they've all the Premier League now, the big spenders, they've got a lot of depth in all positions. All positions. So regardless, he's going back. It doesn't matter where you go in England, you're fighting for a position, especially in the Premier League.
They got good pieces?
They do got some good pieces.
That's the Jimmy Brennan line. Jimmy, yeah. What do you think about this squad? Oh, great pieces. Lots of good pieces.
Because yeah. It's a big puzzle.
Yeah. But Whitecaps making moves, though. They're rumored also to, as a replacement, up front or out wide for Simon Becher, who might be going to Denmark. Looks like they might be getting Fafa Pico.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, but still nothing from crickets from TFC. And is that because they're just given the contract that they have on the books? They just don't have the freedom to make these moves?
I think so. I think that plays a part. They're just trying to shuffle the shit right now, trying to figure out.
I played that card game with my twins last night.
They're taking the shit from one corner and putting it in the other.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The best hope is that they can get these guys all on the same page and somehow manage to do something next year and at least compete.
Yeah.
Certainly should do with the highest wage bill in the league. You shouldn't. The league keeps getting bigger, and they just keep finishing in the bottom three, no matter how big the league is. That's pretty hard to do.
Well, it was kind of funny because you haven't heard anything from TFC, right? Nothing. And then all of a sudden there's a post saying Jason DeVos, the interim general secretary of Canada, is now assistant coach. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, who cares? Like, tell us about players coming. Who's going? Who's coming in? Yeah. Tell us something.
Is that a big fuck you to all coaches who are toiling and trying to move up the ranks in Canada, and then Herdman just brings over DeVos?
Well, they're buddies, aren't they? But it'd be interesting to see. I mean, look, DeVos helped him out with the national team as an assistant. You know, Jay has never coached in a professional football environment. So it'd be interesting to see how he does. I mean, there's going to be a lot of eyes on him and speculation to see how he does. But it's a different ballgame now, working with players day in, day out. It's a long season. So be interesting to see how he does and how he handles himself in a professional environment. As a player, yeah, he's been there, but not as a coach. So I don't know how he's going to do there, but we'll find out soon, won't we?
Do you think that, if the season starts off really, really poorly, I think the real pressure now falls on Bill Manning. If the team doesn't perform well, I think that his days are...
There's pressure on Bill Manning, 100%.
Yeah,
but there's going to be pressure on Herdman as well. You've gone in there to do a job. And if you can't do the job, and all eyes are going to be on him, right? You've taken the job. Now there's going to be people watching you, and you're going to get critiqued if you do not perform. It's pro football. It's what we do. This is what we talk about, whether it's Premier League, whether it's MLS, Championship, CPL. Once you're in that hot seat, you and your staff, you're going to get critiqued. So you better make sure that you do your job and you get the best out of these players. That's why you're hired. I mean, at the end of the day, you're a coach. You're hired to get fired. So hold on for as long as you can, but you've got to get the best out of this squad.
And that might be difficult.
Yeah. Of course it's difficult, but you've put yourself in that position.
Yeah. You can only fuck with the cock you got.
Instead of the believe sign on the wall in the TFC locker room, they've got, you can only fuck with the cock that you got.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I do think they get a bump though. They will get an early bump, I believe, TFC, from from John's arrival and the motivator that he is. Mm-hmm. I do believe that has an effect.
You know, we talked about that motivation stuff too as well. And I think he'll have to change, because that motivation with the national team is good. You only have the players a couple of days and the rah-rah and let's go. And, you know, when it's pro football now and day-to-day working with the players, if you come in with that motivation and rah-rah, that gets boring real, real quick. So he'll have to change as a manager in the way that he handles the dressing room.
Yeah, players see through that, I think, right?
Of course they do. They see through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we know with the national team, too, the players were saying, like, they see through it all. You know, he has to change. He's got to change as a manager, make sure that tactically he gets things right. But you can't be rah-rah. You have to understand the players. You're working with them day in and day out now. You're going to spend a lot of time with them. They need space. You got to leave them alone. You know, got to give them a kick when they need it. And other times,
pressure is on his staff, right?
It's what?
He puts a lot of pressure on his staff. It's a heavy workload for the staff around him as well. It's you feel like it's 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing, but.
Do you guys know? Sorry, Forrest. So Whitecaps are, I think they were just flying out to Spain for preseason. And I mentioned CF Montreal is going to Arizona first. Then I think they'll end up in Florida. Where does TFC go for preseason?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard. They went to Palm Springs last year. I know that.
That's right. Do you know, Jimmy?
No, I have no idea.
Hmm.
No idea where they're going.
If you guys had your druthers, Palm Springs, Spain, or Arizona, where would you want to head as a player?
You know, for preseason, you know, it doesn't really, really matter. That Palm Springs setup was really, really nice. I was down there. I saw it. They played at the polo ground there. It's just, I don't know, hundreds of acres of just perfect pitches. It really is quite something. And it's quiet. It's, you know, it's an older population down there. Right. You can't get into too much trouble. You know, you're no desire really to go out unless you want to go to grab a granny night in downtown Palm Springs.
And go play bingo.
Forrest with the one-liners today. Grab a granny night? Oh, my God.
Thursday.
Thursday. Wings and grannies.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think, Forrest, you're biased, though. By
the old guy down there.
What's that?
There's this old guy who went to grab a granny night, and he picked up somebody, got pulled over by the police, and he was over the limit, and he's just trying to explain to the police he's just trying to get laid, and he's like 75 years of age.
Oh my God. He was in your golfing foursome the next day. That's how you know the story.
That's how I know the story. Yeah.
Was it Jerry?
Yeah, so he got off.
He got off twice.
You guys are ridiculous.
Off of smoke.
Poof. Seriously though, where's the best spot you ever went for preseason as a player?
Sweden.
Really? Yeah, are you fucking with me or for real?
No, we had an amazing time. Every time we went to Sweden, we had a fantastic time.
Where would you go in Sweden?
All over the place. We were in Uppsala, Karlstad, Gothenburg.
Yeah, Gothenburg was amazing. We used to go there a lot for preseason in Sweden. And then the other one was in Marbella.
Oh, Marbella. That's amazing. A postseason thing. You don't want to go there preseason. The managers can't handle it. Like,
yeah, we went there preseason a couple of times, and it was awesome. Weather was beautiful.
Sinatra's or
what's that?
Sinatra's, is that, or is that
Sinatra's? No, Sinatra's is in Puerto Banús. Yeah, what a place that is, by the way.
Sinatra's.
Oh, legendary.
What was place. It?
Legendary bar.
A bar right on the docks in Puerto Banús, Spain. Yeah, massive yachts all out in the harbor, and just. Yeah, lots of shenanigans going on.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe not the best destination for preseason.
Oh, fuck. Not them.
No.
Even Sweden, the manager was like, I remember it was John Duncan, I think his name was, who that manager was at the time. He said, we're never coming back here again.
I remember being in Sweden and we had, you know, it's preseason. So, you know, you're training twice a day. It's hard.
Oof.
And you're at it all the time. You're exhausted. And I remember the manager one time when, like, he says, all right, lads, he goes, have a nice line in the morning. We'll train in the afternoon. We'll see you at lunch. Okay. So we're all sitting there going, okay, guys, we've got the morning off. We've just had dinner. It's about 6-7 o'clock.
Green light.
Let's go out and we'll go have a couple of pints. And so the whole team's like, all right, let's go. And now in Sweden, they ride bikes everywhere and they leave bikes all around the street. So picture 20 odd guys running out of the hotel, out the back door, grabbing any bike we can find and then pedaling down the street to the pub. We get in there, we have a good drink, back on the bikes, left the bikes where we found them, back into the hotel, woke up in the morning, met the manager for lunch, and he's just looking at but he couldn't figure it out. Everybody's hungover. We're struggling a little bit, but it was a great night. We used to do that quite a bit. It was funny as hell, just running out and grabbing a bike.
And he didn't get caught.
He didn't get caught, no.
We got caught a few times and we paid the price for it. He's like, you guys are going to puke today.
Yeah.
Say, don't worry, gaffer. It was totally worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no hiding from it at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys have anything else? I think we're out of time. I don't have anything else.
No.
Melvis Pelvis? JC?
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by whatever.
Tony Bet.
Tony Bet. Tony Bet. Tony Bet. Get all your bets in at TonyBet.ca. And then, but all the games that you can catch, you see, on for the Premier League on Fubo TV. Sign up today at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. For all your footy favorites. Also, there are other channels. There's Gusto is on Fubo. Mm-hmm. So you can watch your cooking, favorite cooking experiences. There's also other channels on Fubo. So you get all sorts of different things, you see. That sells it. I should be a spokesman or person for that, etc. Thanks. Back to you, Amy.
That was tremendous.
Tremendous.
No one could have done that exactly like you. That's but thanks fair. For listening, guys. I don't think we missed Sharman. Fuck that Oop. Guy, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
I miss Wonger, though. It'll be good to see Wonger on Friday.
Safe travels, Wonger. Yeah. He should be flying today.
I can't wait to hear the stories, honestly.
I know.
Will he be sick?
Oh, 100% yeah. He will be sick.
Done,
100%. Yeah, place that bet over on Tony Bet.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you for the chat. Yeah, thanks. No problem. Keep buying newspapers. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Bye.
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 All right, who's next?
See the Raptors getting absolutely screwed last night?
Oh, fucking a joke.
Ridiculous.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.